Exactly, Jamie. But before we pull back that curtain, let's set the stage. Imagine every time you ask an AI assistant a question, search for an image, or get a product recommendation, a vector database is working hard behind the scenes. They store billions of embedding vectors. Think of these as dense numeric representations of text, images, or audio, and retrieve the most relevant ones using similarity metrics.
So it's like saying, hey, database, find me something similar to this, and it magically pulls up what you need.
Magic is one way to put it, but it's actually all about mathematics and architecture. Let's start with how these databases work. At their core, vector databases provide efficient similarity search over embeddings, which involves three main components: indexing, storage, and retrieval.
Hold up, indexing? You mean like in a library?
Not quite, but you're on the right track. Indexing in the context of vector databases is about how the system organizes vectors for fast retrieval. There are several types, but one common method is called HNSW, or Hierarchical Navigable Small World. It's a graph-based structure optimized for real-time applications with low latency.
HNSW sounds like a secret society. But what about storage? Are we talking digital storage lockers here?
You could say that. The storage aspect decides whether vectors live in memory, on disk, or a hybrid of both. And retrieval is about how queries are executed and ranked based on similarity metrics, like cosine or Euclidean distance.
Got it. But with so many options out there, like Pinecone, Weaviate, Milvus, and others, how do you choose the right one?
Great question. It's not one size fits all. You have to consider factors like scale, latency, indexing strategy, and integration needs. Plus, there are trade-offs between managed and self-hosted solutions, approximate versus exact search, and memory versus disk storage.
Sounds like choosing a new phone plan. But what about when you shouldn't use a vector database? Are there deal breakers?
Definitely. For instance, if your dataset is small, you might not need a vector database at all. Traditional SQL or Elasticsearch could be enough for exact matches. Or if you can't tolerate approximate results, since some methods trade accuracy for speed.
Ah, the old accuracy versus speed dilemma. So how do we integrate these databases into our AI or search pipelines?
Most vector databases offer integration with popular programming languages like Python. You start by generating embeddings for your data, then insert these into your vector database. From there, you can query the database to find similar items based on those embeddings.
Ooh, let's talk real-world applications. Give me the gossip on how businesses are using this tech.
One of the coolest examples I've seen is in media archives. Imagine a large media company needing to help editors find similar video clips quickly. Initially, they might use keyword matching, but that misses context. Switching to a vector database with embeddings from something like Clip can cut search time from minutes to seconds, drastically improving workflow and relevance.
That's like finding a needle in a digital haystack. Before we wrap up, any final thoughts or tips for our listeners diving into the world of vector databases?
Start small and experiment with open source tools. Benchmark performance and secure your embeddings. And most importantly, don't just chase benchmarks. Pick the database that fits your workload and team expertise.
Wise words from Alex, as always. Well, that's a wrap for today's episode of Nerd Level Tech AI Cast. We hope you found it as enlightening and entertaining as we did.
Thanks for tuning in, and remember to subscribe for more deep dives into the tech world. Until next time, keep nerding out.